Hello, and welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map, and today my guest is Lenny Cezanne, co-founder and managing partner at Urban Capital Network, an investment group focused on inclusive funding. Lenny and I are going to discuss the work he's doing and how the pandemic has affected venture capital. Lenny, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be able to participate.
Great. So with your background in engineering and then your transition into finance, what led you to start Urban Capital Network?
I got introduced to angel investing with one of my partners, who is Heath Butler. He was kind of working in that innovation early stage space. And he and I put together a couple of syndicate investments to invest in some early stage companies. We were also doing some formal and informal advising. And we put together a few deals. Probably about a year into that, we met Felix Chevalier and Eric Tate. And those guys were doing some of the same things in the early stage investment space, and also, you know, advising early stage startup entrepreneurs, things like that. And we started talking, and we came together to form Urban Capital Network. And we formalized the business late 2019. And then we launched our first fund in early 2020.
And so you and I believe there's four managing partners, right? How did you all come together to start Urban Capital Network?
Well, so we were both doing in two separate groups. It was Heath and myself, and then Felix and Eric. And we were doing separate investments on our own, two different groups. We had a vision for actually scaling and doing more. So we came together, talked about our ideas, and we just saw that it made sense for us to form one entity and bring our individual networks together. And that's how Urban Capital Network was born.
I guess I didn't realize that kind of two groups merging into one to create what you'll have today, which is great. So launched earlier this year after kind of planning it together. But what really is the structure and what makes y'all different from what else is out there at this point?
Yeah, so what's different for Urban Capital Network is we can be described as a hybrid between like an angel investment group and a small VC firm. But what we do and our mission was to democratize access to premium VC-backed investment. As we all know, you know, the VC space is a closed network of, you know, a small subset of individuals. And we realized that, you know, there was always a focus on entrepreneurs of color or underrepresented entrepreneurs who do not get access to capital from VCs. So we took a different approach because we did not see any focus on the investors who also don't get access to invest in these opportunities. So what we've done is we formed relationships with VC firms who value our diversity and inclusion platform, and they allow us to get access to their deals. Mm-hmm. One of the barriers to entry for these deals is if you're not in a network, you won't get access, even if you can afford it, right? And then also, the minimum investment in most of these VC funds, I mean, $250,000 is probably really low. Most of them, because they're LP based or institutional investors, you're looking at millions. Sometimes for the minimum investment. So what we do is we syndicate a much smaller investment minimum. You can get into our deals as low as $10,000 investment. You still have to be an accredited and qualified investor. However, not all accredited investors have $250,000 or $1 million to be able to invest in one of these premium deals. So we aggregate all of those investments and we invest in the VC funds as a, like a fund of funds, as an LP. But then we also follow up with direct follow-on investments that, that bypasses the fund of fund model, right? So we get to co-invest alongside of the VC directly with them. And what that does is it's a little bit different from an angel group. We're getting it access at a little bit of a later stage. So we're talking, you know, Series A, maybe post-seed, so right before Series A, and the investments are de-risked. So we're allowing the angel investor to get in on better deals without having all of the risks associated with a brand new company with no smart money behind it.
It's really interesting to me that the kind of turning of the tables, you know, as you said, some people might be focusing, some groups might be focusing on investing in, you know, minority run startups, but what y'all are trying to focus on is the venture side and kind of growing that diversity within that space. So is that something you've seen that just, you know, really hasn't been a thing in Houston? And how have you been received as an organization entering this atmosphere with the other VCs?
Yeah. So we've had very, very good response. You know, it's something that even the VCs have said, you know, no one is doing this. We haven't seen it. And they've embraced it. And that's, you know, why we continue to form additional relationships with these VCs. And in terms of the investors, I'll be honest, you know, we didn't think that we would get as much participation as we have thus far. I mean, it's relatively small, but we've raised $3 million in, you know, the course of 6 months, maybe. And we've invested it all. So all of it is allocated. So we've got really good reception from both the VCs and the investors as well. So, you know, these investors are getting access to things that they wouldn't have never gotten access to. But, you know, I also like to point out that, you know, although we are focused on the investors, we do contribute to entrepreneurs as well. So we take a portion of our proceeds and we invest directly in entrepreneurs of color and other represented entrepreneurs as well. And we also donate to other nonprofits that provide support resources for those entrepreneurs. So we're kind of completing the cycle, and we find that it's easier to go to a VC and offer to give them money and also help them diversify their investor portfolio. And then we can in turn help fund those entrepreneurs. And our goal there is, you know, to help those entrepreneurs get to a stage where they're VC backable. So a lot of the minority founders and entrepreneurs, they don't make it that far because they don't have the friends and family who have money who can get them through that pre-seed startup, developing their MVP, minimum viable product. They don't get there. And VCs are looking for that before they're ready to write a check.
And that's the other kind of component to what's super interesting about the structure of Urban Capital Network is that it is a hybrid and you're kind of working on the VCs and you're working with the entrepreneurs. So why was it really important to y'all to make sure you had that, you know, entrepreneurship focus as well? Because I feel like to kind of straddle both worlds seems kind of maybe not the option most people would decide on. But for y'all, it seems like it was very important to kind of have that entrepreneurship side to invest in them as well.
Right. Well, you know, when you look at the innovation economy, you know, there's a wealth gap, there's jobs gaps, and all of that kind of ties in, right? So we thought that if we can help get access to these opportunities that are historically have been one of the best ways to create wealth with individuals, with families, that we can then invest in our own communities, right? So instead of knocking on doors, asking for VCs to invest in entrepreneurs, we're just knocking on the doors, asking them to give us access to their deals so that we can create wealth in our communities. And now we can go invest in our own community. So that was really important. And again, you know, the people that are investing in our deals, they're folks, working professional people, right? So when you compare them to the early stage entrepreneurs, you know, they have some money. It might not be a lot of money, but they have some money that they can invest. But they just can't take the risk of investing directly into a startup company. So although there is always a risk in investing, even with VCs, by the time the VCs are investing, you know, the risk is minimized a little bit because now the VCs are involved. You have more money behind you. You have more guidance and advisors behind you as well. So that's why we wanted to turn around and also help those entrepreneurs. And hopefully what we'd like to see is, you know, it's a process and it'll take time. But as we create wealth with our investments, our investor base will then take more chances and they can then invest in earlier stage deals as well. So we also educate our investors. We provide a lot of educational programming as well. So that's another component of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you have been hosting, I see the notifications for the events, haven't made one to myself, myself yet, but how have those been going? And I know, especially in this time of, you know, the pandemic and social distancing, when everyone's kind of shut inside, the opportunity to reach people at these kind of virtual events that y'all have been doing is really great. So how have you seen interaction from these events and the kind of educational proportion that y'all are providing? How has that been going?
Those have been going really well. We typically have over, you know, 100 registrations, say 100 to 150 registrations, and probably 50 to 75% actually show up. But what we found with those events is we've had, you know, we've been getting some net new investors from those events, but we are also getting a lot of entrepreneurs reaching out to us as well. We're not really in a position right now to invest in those really early stage deals, and you know that's not what we advertise to our investor base. However, what we are doing with some of these early stage entrepreneurs who are reaching out to us as a result of our events, we try to, if viable, right? If they're a viable opportunity, we also want to bring deal flow to the VCs that we are working with as well. So that's another component of our relationships with the VCs and the value add that we bring to them is we'll bring them diverse deals as well. We haven't found that one company yet that, you know, to bring to the VC and you know, the VC has been willing to invest in, but we have a couple of them who are on their way there, and we've invested in those as well. So, you know, I talked about how we leverage, you know, our revenues from putting these deals together and investing in entrepreneurs. We've done that. So we have two companies that we think are on their way to being VC backable.
Very cool. I mean, at the very least, these events, you know, they're great brand recognition and kind of get to introduce yourself and what you're doing. And you mentioned kind of looking for that startup, that one startup. So what are you looking for when you're, you know, hearing from startups to potentially invest in?
Well, because, you know, we want to include de-risk opportunities in our portfolio. In terms of bringing those deals into the UCN investment side, we're kind of depending on the criteria of the VC partners that we are partnering with, right? So we kind of know their criteria. For instance, you know, a lot of them are looking for at least $500,000 in revenue before they even look at the deal, right? So we don't see too many of those. The ones that we've invested in through donating to the nonprofit, we kind of look at their platform, and it's technology-based companies, right? So one of them has a platform that we really like, and they have some traction, and both of them have traction, actually. So in terms of, you know, the criteria, there's no specific criteria that we have written down or investment thesis that we have when looking at these businesses. But a lot of it has to do with, you know, like I said, the traction and just the team itself and how scalable we think the model is.
Speaking of teams, Urban Capital Network has four managing partners. You are one of them, and you have three co-managing partners, and you'll each have a very diverse background. So what role does each of you play within UCN?
So we have Heath Butler. So Heath Butler, in addition to being the co-founder of UCN, he's a network partner with Mercury Fund. And Mercury Fund was actually our first investment that we made through UCN. So Pete's role, he develops the relationships with the VC firms. So, you know, that's kind of his role, making the VC connections and, you know, looking for the VCs who are interested in our platform and whose values align with what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Felix Chevalier, he's our strategic partner, coordinator. So I talked about a little bit about the nonprofit and the educational portion of what we have to offer and the services we provide. Felix works with our corporate partners in kind of securing those relationships. And, you know, maybe bringing some donations to us. Also, we reach out to corporations to educate their employees. So we're trying to really boost the innovation ecosystem here in Houston. And there's a need for advisors as well. So we think a lot of those advisors can be found within the large corporations here in Houston. And then Eric Tate, he's our investor outreach person, so he interacts with most of the investors and communicates with them. He and I kind of share roles, so, and, you know, my responsibility is, lies along the same as Eric in communicating with investors and also in kind of pulling the administration of the fund together.
That's so cool that kind of how y'all each bring something to the table here. So I wonder, kind of zooming out a little bit and recognizing the need for Urban Capital Network and bringing that all together and now executing it and working on it every day, what do you see the role of Urban Capital Network playing in the greater kind of Houston ecosystem? I mean, obviously, Houston is considered one of the most, if not the most, depending on who you ask, diverse cities in mm-hmm. the country. So how do y'all see, you know, helping to kind of make our ecosystem inclusive as well?
Well, I think, you know, what we've done so far has actually had an impact on that. You know, with our informal partnership with the ION here in Houston, All of our education events have been in collaboration with the ION. And as the ION grows and they move into the new Sears building, I'm sure you're probably aware of that. I think that's going to attract more VCs to Houston, as well as more investors. And I think, once you mentioned that Houston is one of the most diverse cities in the country, but they have not been involved in this innovation ecosystem and venture investment. So I think, our role is to continue to grow that diversification in the form of investors and support diverse entrepreneurs in the Houston area and even outside of Houston and Texas in general. So when we do have investors that are not Houston based. So that's the thing with the pandemic, we've been able to raise money during the height of the pandemic, but we've also been able to reach far beyond Houston with virtual meetings and virtual educational webinars. So I think that's helped, and it's actually exposing everything that we're doing here in Houston to people outside of Houston.
Yeah, I think a lot of my conversations, with various members within the innovation world of Houston, there's challenges that come with COVID, and then there's opportunities. So I definitely, right. They go hand in hand. So has the pandemic really affected y'all's trajectory as an organization? Obviously there's opportunities, but like I said, there's also those challenges. So I wonder if you had any observations as to how that's kind of affected y'all with launching just ahead of all of this happening. I'm sure it wasn't ideal at the time.
Right. So, initially, we had some live events planned that got canceled. But I'd say that the pandemic really hadn't impacted our trajectory. So our trajectory has exceeded our expectations, first of all. So, maybe there's an impact that we're not aware of because our expectations were not aligned with the results that we got, right? So, we didn't think we would raise, as much money as we did. And we actually just coincidentally, we didn't think we would get as high of allocations as we've been able to get. So things just kind of really worked out for us in terms of the money we raised and the allocations that came behind it. So we've done two funds, right? The first one was a fund of funds, and I mentioned we invested directly in Mercury Fund. But then we came right behind that with another fund that was all, it's like a mini fund. They were all direct investors across six companies that just happened to be raising money at the same time. And we were able to actually raise enough money to commit our entire allocation that we got. So, and then we ended up, getting additional allocation that we didn't expect. And our fund was actually oversubscribed. And then we got additional allocation, and it just kind of worked out that way. The only thing I'd say the pandemic has presented a challenge is on, establishing those VC relationships. I think, more in-person meetings with the VCs and being able to interact with them live. I think it would be much better in a faster process. We're still doing it and making those relationships via Zoom and by phone as well. And then we get warm introductions through our first VC partner with Mercury Fund, which helps. But I do think that more in-person interaction would be much better for us.
I definitely think it's the pandemic has really shone a spotlight on the importance of that personal relationships within VCs and the companies they're investing in. So that kind of makes sense to me. But I think also you're seeing that your success in spite of a global pandemic, I guess, really emphasizes the need that there was for what y'all are doing, and maybe even a testament to the connections y'all have as a team. And moving forward, what are some of your priorities and goals for the next, you know, maybe the rest of 2020 and into 2021? Where do you see y'all going?
Well, we'd like to do another fund, maybe by the end of the year. We're just not sure how big that fund is going to be yet, because we're kind of directly aligned with when VCs are raising money. You know, so the size of the fund we raise is kind of dependent on the timing of the VCs and when they're doing their raises as well. So we'd like to get another one done. And eventually, you know, this long-term projection is, we like to do some traditional funds. So we want to introduce more and more of our own portfolio company into our fund. So, you know, if we can start off with one or two. Actually, the last fund we did was the UCN Boost Fund. We did have one of our own portfolio companies in there. It was a company that we were invested in before we formed UCN, actually. So we put together a syndicate of funds in very early stage of, it was LionGuard. I don't know if you're familiar with LionGuard, but they're a Houston-based cybersecurity company. But we were invested with them early on in their seed round, and they did their Series B in, I guess it was May, June timeframe. And that was included in, that Series B raise was included in our last fund. So we'd like to introduce more companies that we're bringing to the table into our funds going forward, and eventually, you know, have a traditional fund where we're sourcing, you know, 100% of those deals.
Joe was actually on the podcast.
Okay.
So it's very interesting, Jexy, because that was one of the first kind of moments after everything's kind of been shut down where it was like, oh yeah, we can still have companies close pretty significant rounds. So it's very interesting to me to see kind of, you know, where you're going and what you're planning to do with this. Would you say you have, I guess, any specific focus on different industries or local versus non-local companies that you're looking at?
Well, just inherently, because we're here in Houston, and also, you know, just the part of the United States we're located in, you know, most of the deals we're seeing are, you know, in South mid-continent, I'd say. Most of the VC firms that we're partnering with or in the main continent as well. So some of that is just as a result of the relationships we have with the VC firms, right? So we're kind of limited by where they're looking for deals. But also a lot of it is, you know, we think there are better deals in the mid-continent, rather than going out to the East Coast and West Coast and Silicon Valley. Those deals tend to have a higher competition. You know, they move a little bit faster. They're trying to exit a little bit faster, where the companies in the mid-continent are kind of slow, steady growth. You know, and they don't have a need for a really quick exit. You know, they can really execute and implement their model and strategy over, you know, some years, right? So, you know, that's really is what the constraints are around, you know, our investments and things we might see.
I'm sure this was all very enlightening to our listeners to learn about what you're looking for and where you're going with Urban Capital Network. And it's been enlightening for me, so I hope it's been enlightening for everybody else. So I really want to thank you for coming on the show. And like I said, been remarkable to see your presence on these virtual events. So if you're interested in learning more, definitely check out what Urban Capital Network is doing online and where you're going. So thank you again.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to discussing, you know, our future activities and hopefully success with you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Houston Innovators Podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review the show, and keep up with all things Houston innovation at innovationmap.com.